It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Divisional round is set. It's all locked up. The playoffs begin now. We were due for a stinker.
Yeah, that one was pretty much a turd fest last night down in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers played like it. The Houston Texans defense, I think, is the best still left in the NFL, if not maybe the best in the NFL at this point in time. I mean, I've never seen somebody get wrecked so bad back there at the quarterback position like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that guy had no time whatsoever against that Houston Texans defense last night. He looked every bit of 45 years old last night, dude. I mean, like, it was not an exciting game. It's not. There's no reason that we have to have exciting games for every single one, and that one just ended up being a stinker of a great weekend of wild card football.
Yeah, it went the way that I kind of thought that game would go, to a certain extent. I figured it'd be a blowout. It was 30-6. Houston wins. Two defensive touchdowns helped that. That was a perfect matchup for Houston. That was an aged out quarterback with a defensive line that is the best in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are some grown ass men. I mean, at one point, Aaron Rodgers got sacked and nobody touched him. He just fell down. He just dropped. And Will Anderson got credited for the sack. The bigger picture is two things. One, some believe that was Aaron Rodgers' last game that you'll ever see him play.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think there should be a serious conversation about Mike Tomlin. That was Mike Tomlin's fifth playoff loss in a row of losing by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mike Tomlin's seventh playoff loss in a row. And Mike Tomlin has not won a playoff game since January 15th, 2017. Now, I understand that Mike Tomlin is a great coach. Marty Schottenheimer was a great coach. But Marty Schottenheimer couldn't win in the playoffs, and he lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in two separate places, in Kansas City and happened in Los Angeles. And I think the conversation that goes today is,
and Cleveland, if you want to go in the way back machine there too, you know,
couldn't beat Elway. And the thing that I think that we have to have here is a conversation. I want to play a couple of audio clips from last night. One is that if we were here yesterday talking about how Justin Herbert and Greg Roman can't seem to figure out playoff production, then what are we doing? And Trevor Lawrence, same way. Seven interceptions in three games. People are going, all right, maybe he just doesn't have that gene in the playoffs. Like, why is Mike Tomlin not held to that standard? And I understand that he's had multiple in a row of winning seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But five consecutive double-digit losses in the playoffs has to have some sort of standing point. Not winning a playoff game since January 15th, 2017. Like, Mahomes is rookie season is the last time they won a playoff game. Like, where does that stand up?
Yeah.
No matter who you are.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it really is. It's hard to look at that and say, boy, he deserves, you know, to continue to move through and to continue to get these great opportunities. And I always go back to, there's just the coaching pool isn't that great, but that's also no reason to not make a change, right? Like, if you feel that the time has come to move on in Pittsburgh, then you move on. I really honestly think that if it's time to move on in Pittsburgh, it's going to be Mike Tomlin's call. I just don't believe that they're going to fire, if you will, Mike Tomlin. Now, there's rumors out there, and Florio was talking about it, and of course he stirs the pot a little bit, but he said, you know, he believes that Mike Tomlin has a TV offer in his back pocket and may decide to, you know, take it at the end of the season when it's all said and done. And you know, I started to think a little bit, well, you know, with Matt Ryan moving down to Atlanta and that seat coming open on the CBS network, I mean, Mike Tomlin would be great on television. But I also think Mike Tomlin is great for the NFL.
Or that's Travis's job.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, no, he could potentially do that. So I just think right now, maybe you move him in and replace Tony Romo with Mike Tomlin. I mean, you know, a lot of people are talking about Tony Romo, you know, being bad these days. I mean, Mike Tomlin and Jim Nance, that would be one hell of a conversation. But, you know, I think also, too, what you have to take into account when it comes to Mike Tomlin is the quarterback situation just hasn't been in existence since, you know, Ben Roethlisberger left. And I can't remember anymore now what Ben Roethlisberger's last game was. What was that, like 20? 2020, 2021. It was. So was that, 21? Somewhere in that range, right around the COVID era, you know? So I think it's been quite some time since he's had a quarterback there, you know, in Pittsburgh. And, I mean, Mason Rudolph finished the game last night. Aaron Rodgers, a shell of himself, whoever the hell it was last year, and Fields and, you know, Russell Wilson and stuff like that. And even years prior to that, like, they've never solved that quarterback situation. And I think we all know how important it is to have a quarterback. And he hasn't had a quarterback. They still win 9, 10, 11 games every single year. And then they get to the postseason and they're just not good enough from a talent standpoint to go out there and compete. And so if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers right now and I'm thinking to myself, what changes need to be made? Obviously, we need a quarterback, but I don't know. Is the general manager the right guy? Like, is it Omar Khan? Is he still the general manager in Pittsburgh? I don't even know, but it seems like we all want to go right to the coach because everybody knows who Mike Tomlin is. He's been there for so long. How about taking an inventory of that roster and realizing that maybe Mike Tomlin is overachieving with a lot of these guys that the Pittsburgh Steelers are giving him in which to work? And it really does start with the quarterback position. I mean, if you're looking at the quarterbacks from, you know, this postseason, how high up on the list was Aaron Rodgers at this time, right? At 40 some years old. And so I tend to take a step back and go, is Mike Tomlin given a real opportunity to even have success, or is he taking a lot of subpar quarterbacks and turning them into guys and teams that are winning 10, 11 games a year? Maybe he's working magic with the roster he's given.
I can understand a certain amount of support for Tomlin where it's like, hey, it's the playoffs. As long as we can win our division or get in the playoffs, it's anybody's dance when it gets to that point. Mm-hmm. It's not been his dance at all.
No.
Like, 5 double-digit losses, you're getting blown out every time you make the playoffs. The quarterback situation, I would assume with Mike Tomlin's tenure there, he has say over it all. He wanted Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, because he had nothing beforehand, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I would assume that Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh, he had to have some say in that. Just like with the offensive coordinator, I know it's not Mahomes' final call, but Mahomes has done enough in this league and shown enough in Kansas City that he does have some sort of say in who comes in to be a voice in that huddle with him and Andy Reid when they call the plays. I totally believe that. So I think there should be some accountability on Mike Tomlin for that. Yeah, you can talk about the draft. I mean, they missed on Mason Rudolph. That was who was supposed to come and replace Ben Roethlisberger.
What about Kenny Pickett, too, right? Didn't they draft him and miss on him, right? He was drafted by Pittsburgh, right? Then traded to Philadelphia, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I understand, but maybe that's just part of the system that's not working. And you could say, well, Dusty, it's working because they're making the playoffs. I mean, they won the AFC North this year by default.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow didn't play. Lamar Jackson didn't play. Cleveland is Cleveland. And Pittsburgh got in with a 10-7 record and then just got absolutely boat raced by Houston last night. And this was Aaron Rodgers kind of on the whole situation with today's NFL.
I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. You know, when you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleurs of the world. Those are just two that kind of I played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat, you know, but the way that the league is covered now and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league, because obviously Matt's done a lot of great things in Green Bay and we had a lot of success. Mike T has had more success than damn near anybody in the league. You know, for the last 19, 20 years. And more than that, though, when you have the right guy and the culture is right, you don't think about making a change. But there's a lot of pressure that comes from the outside, and obviously that sways decisions from time to time. But it's not how I would do things and not how the league used to be.
Yeah, I mean, he nailed that. There's really not much that I could say. I agree, disagree. Like, that was nailed. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is telling the truth, and I thought was really, really good with what he had to say, because he's right. If this isn't the social media era or whatever era this is that we're in, nobody's talking about Tom. The fact that he was defending Matt LaFleur, too, was very surprising. I mean, he spent a lot of time defending a coach that he wanted out from, basically, and realized now, after being with the Jets and whatnot, you know, how good Matt LaFleur is. So he went up to bat for him. him, and he's right about this stuff. Because I've talked to guys over the years, especially on the baseball side of things, who get caught up in the front offices. They look at what these folks on Twitter are saying, what the people are reacting to, how people are acting, what the media is saying, and all of that. And I think you got to back away from that, right? If you're an organization, you can't sit there and listen to what people on Twitter are saying about what you should do. You have to make that convicted decision. It's not easy to be a boss, right? It's not easy. And if you're the owner of the Steelers and you truly believe that Mike Tomlin is the best guy for your organization, then you stay wedded to that and you stand up to that and you show everybody why you believe Mike Tomlin is the best coach for your organization. And then you go out and you get them some help. Yeah, they have swung and missed on the quarterback type of stuff big time. But I mean, when you don't draft your own quarterback, guys, it's really hard. Look at all these teams that are still left in the playoffs. Buffalo has Josh Allen, right? Denver has Bo Nix, CJ Stroud in Houston. Like all these guys right now that are these quarterbacks, Drake May, drafted quarterback, all of these guys that are left, with the exception of maybe Sam Darnold and that game out there, but they're all pretty much drafted by these teams. Lamar drafted by Baltimore, Patrick Mahomes drafted by Kansas City, Joe Burrow drafted by Cincinnati. Every once in a while, you're going to hit on a guy in free agency and you're going to get that quarterback. But if you really want to set your organization up for success, you just have to draft that right quarterback. I know it sounds so simple and it sounds so easy, but it's arguably one of the hardest things to do in sports because you just don't see a lot of these good quarterbacks. And then you got to pair them with a great offensive mind head coach that can ease them into the league and make that transition for them as easy as possible and as seamless as possible. And so until the Pittsburgh Steelers draft that quarterback, it may be a lot of this rinse and repeat 10-7 type stuff because they don't have the right guy under center right now.
And I would say that the Pittsburgh job isn't a snap decision. No. I would give some sort of credit to that with Green Bay because I think LaFleur is still their guy and he's the one that's, we found out he's not on the hot seat, so it lets me know that Aaron Rodgers is reading the outside sources and listening to those people. But Tomlin's not a snap decision. That is not a playoff win since 2017. Like that's been almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the same thing with Harbaugh. They're like, oh, snap decisions. Like, no, he was there for 18 years.
Yeah.
And it won 4 playoff games since he won a Super Bowl. Like, you have to produce when it matters. If these athletes have to produce, so do you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, and I don't know, that's just the way I look at it. I think that sometimes you get stuck in purgatory and it's not where you need to be. And if that's how Pittsburgh wants to do it and they just want to have a chance to be in the playoffs, and that's fine. If they want to listen to Aaron Rodgers talk the way he does, like this.
I kind of want something other to eat. Mm-hmm. You got any biscuits for sale in there? What you got in there is good to eat. French fried potatoes? How much you want for them? Mm. I reckon I'll have me some of the big ones.
So maybe that's, him sticking up for his guys because him and Tom had a really great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like 5 consecutive playoff games of getting beat by double digits, not have won in a game in a playoff in 7 years, can be a cool guy, but sometimes you got to get out of that and you got to go figure something out because, to your point, Sam Darnold, not drafted. He's worked in 2 different places.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford, not drafted by the Rams. He's worked in 2 different places. Like, they've changed the system and went and got a guy that they can actually use,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't been that guy for the for the Steelers in the last 9 years.
Yeah, and really, who are the quarterbacks that have been available that they could have gotten to? I always go back to that. Now, in the draft, that's a different story, but like a free agent-wise type thing. Guys just don't reach the free agent market normally that are any good. The Sam Darnold one is an anomaly in all of this, right? Like Sam Darnold was bad as a quarterback in the NFL. A lot of times, those guys never recover to be something good. I think Sam Darnold is more of an anomaly than anything. And so, I think what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing, most organizations, you ask Cleveland, you ask Cincinnati, you ask anybody for that matter who doesn't win, Arizona, they would take this. Winning in the NFL is extremely, extremely hard. And if you don't have the right quarterback in place, it just doesn't matter the rest of the way what you're going to do. I really do believe that you have got to have that alpha dog, that winner, that leader, that guy at quarterback in order to achieve success. And I think most of the teams have that now that are remaining of the 6. They've got that kind of that alpha dog in there at that quarterback position. Maybe Darnold's not that guy. I don't know enough about him, but it sure seems like a lot of these other guys, they're that alpha dog. They lead their teams. Their teams respond and they follow, and they found ways to get that quarterback. And until any team finds a way to get the quarterback, it really doesn't matter what they do, from that head coaching standpoint, because you've got to have that right signal caller out there, at least a competent signal caller out there.
The playoff picture is set for this weekend. Saturday, 3:30 local time, Bills at Broncos. 7 o'clock our time, Niners at Seahawks Sunday. 2 o'clock is Texans at Patriots, and then at 5:30 is Rams at Bears on Sunday. So that is the playoff picture moving forward into the future. Ben Johnson doubles down, and well, maybe the seventh seed just sucks here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Rolling along on a Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan, Nathan, Bob, and myself, Dusty Likens, with you today. Final game of the wild card weekend ended last night, 30-6 is the final score of that game with the Steelers losing to Houston. Houston now will play New England. That game should be pretty good.
That'll be a fun one. Yeah, I think so. Great defense going up against Drake May. We'll see what that kid's really about, right? I mean, if you're looking at the games of the weekend, the NFC games don't do a whole lot for me, but damn, the AFC games look really enticing.
Seattle, Denver, San Fran doesn't do it for you?
Nope, not at all. No interest in that game. Never have been interested in the NFC West at all. It's just my thing, right? Don't care. Those teams have always been like just, eh, teams for me. So
play the Chiefs twice in a Super Bowl, the NFC West.
I know, it just doesn't do anything for me. Don't care. The NFC West is like that useless division that just, oh, they're there, that's right. You know, they do just nothing for me, right?
Not trying to pull one on you, but did you see all the records in the NFC West?
It's
the best division in football.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It will always be one of those divisions where none of the teams are that appealing, right? Like
best player in football plays there.
San Francisco to me is just always kind of been there. That's fine. The Cardinals stink. The Rams, I'll never like the Rams. And Seattle is, you know, their way out. That's just not my division. You can say all you want about it. I don't care for that division. It's just not interesting to me in any stretch of the matter. So I think the AFC games are great, though, this weekend. I love Denver and Buffalo. I think it's great. It's a great time for Josh Allen to say, hey, I own the AFC, and let's see what he can do. And it's a great time for Bo Nix to say, no, you don't. I'm a really good quarterback. I know people are doubting me. So I think that's a really fun matchup. And then New England going against this Houston defense. My goodness, guys, I think it's going to be outstanding. I'm looking forward to that and really seeing what Drake May is all about, because I'm kind of on the MVP train for Drake May right now. But if he goes in there and doesn't play well against this defense, then a lot of the noise that the people were saying, like, oh, they haven't played any good teams and all this kind of stuff, maybe that rises up to the top a little bit. But I'm really excited about watching those two AFC games. And then the late game, obviously, the Bears and Rams should be a pretty good game, you know, as well, just to kind of see that atmosphere in Chicago. But, man, I love the AFC games this week. They're fantastic.
Yeah, I find them both equally entertaining. I don't know which one I think is going to be more entertaining, because you have the rivalry with San Fran and Seattle, and then you had Juwan Jennings' press conference where he did the Bart Scott, can't wait. Right, and they just played this game not too long ago. Seattle was victorious.
Didn't they play like three, like twice? Like, didn't they have like a game, an off week, and a game, like one of those things like we saw at the end of the year with a lot of teams this year?
And, yeah, I mean, like they, yeah. And then, you know, to say about Bo Nix, you could say the same thing about Sam Darnold, because everyone kept throwing, like, can Sam Darnold win a game that matters? Can Sam Darnold win? Last year it fizzled out for Minnesota, and then this year he gets the one seed, and now he'll get to host San Francisco, who goes in beat up and doubted, and it's like, can Christian McCaffrey carry this team to the NFC Championship game? And then can they get some help on the way with Fred Warner? What's Brock Purdy's legacy look like? Can he continue to be a playoff quarterback? For some say, in the playoffs, he's better than Herbert and Trevor Lawrence and these guys that can't do it. Obviously, the Caleb Williams versus Matthew Stafford, right? Can Caleb Williams show that, you know, it was more than just the Packers, right? Because we always give the Bills the non-benefit of the doubt. You beat the Chiefs in the regular season, that's your Super Bowl.
Right.
Was that Chicago Super Bowl? Can they move on? Because Ben Johnson, of course, obviously a lot of people said that it was unprofessional the way that he was in the locker room.
I want to say something real fast on that, right? So we're saying Ben Johnson's unprofessional, yet the woman who said something nice to Liam Cohen is unprofessional as well.
Yeah, it's what do you say, six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, right? It just depends on which side of the atmosphere you want to be
on. Bizarre to me.
So you wonder why coaches normally take the tough week, got to get them next week, go look at the film. You wonder why they're so buttoned up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're polished by their PR because of stuff like this.
That, right.
Again, and I think it's fine because Ben Johnson doubled down
in
his press conference yesterday and said, no, they're the rival. They're the Packers, and there needs to be that hatred of rival in sports, and he couldn't be more accurate because I talked about it yesterday, and we'll talk about it more as the week goes on. There's a lot of people, I believe, in Kansas City that have no interest, unlike you, in Buffalo and Denver because they're like a diehard Chiefs fan. They don't want to see either team win. They don't want to see any team play football. They're just like, I hate those teams. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't think it's awesome you're not watching. I think that you're lying by saying you're not watching because you'll either be at somebody's house or you'll be scrolling through your TV and be like, I don't really know if I want to watch this college basketball game. What am I doing? Put this game on. Oh, Denver's losing 14. Nothing. Nice.
Sweet. Oh, God, but Buffalo. It's Buffalo.
But again, that's where that roots from, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why.
Who is Kansas City rooting for in this game?
I'm rooting for Buffalo. I am never, ever, 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 ever in my life rooting for Denver one iota of anything.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Buffalo as well. And I wasn't rooting for them against Jacksonville, but I am rooting for them against Denver, right? I wanted to see Jacksonville. I wanted to see Buffalo get knocked out. Of course we did. It's Josh Allen,
right? And I'm not rooting for Buffalo because I like Buffalo. I'm rooting for Buffalo because I don't like Denver that much.
Right. Like,
and I want so badly... Yes, rooting for the Chiefs. I want other teams to see this sordid adversity of how hard it really is to get to where Patrick Mahomes has been.
Mm-hmm.
Because Patrick Mahomes has four losses in the playoffs, right? Five. He has two Super Bowl losses, and he has four losses, and two AFC championship game losses in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, well, I don't know, man. He just kind of can't handle it. It's like, okay, well, then what do you say to these other quarterbacks that can't win the wild card round? Or what do you say to these quarterbacks that don't get to the AFC championship game or can't get to the Super Bowl? So I think the storyline in the game with the most juice, in my opinion, is Buffalo versus Denver.
I mean, that's the first game.
And that's good.
Yeah.
And on a Saturday.
Yep.
So, like, I think that's fine. But, like, where... rivalries in sports are great, and I always give Parkins a lot of credit for this because he coined this saying that we should have more hate in sports and more love in the world. No doubt about it, because that's where fun goes, right? Like, you watch live streams of people that watch games, and there's a guy that's in there that's a Philly fan, and there's a guy that's in there that's a San Fran fan, and you, for some reason, start losing interest in the game itself and start making interest in the way these guys are blank talking each other, right? Like, there's no better rivalry back in the mid-90s than KU and Missouri.
Yeah.
And how fun was it to be in a room with a Missouri fan if you're a KU fan or vice versa?
That was
awesome. A Mizzou fan, they're a KU fan. And you just get to go back and forth, and the game becomes bigger than the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the point, you want to win so that you can reign supreme in the trash talk. And if you're going to take an organization and try to make them one of the best versions of themselves in the history of this organization, the Chicago Bears, you've got to find the things that are easy sells, right? If you're a salesman and you go to somebody and you're trying to sell a radio show and you're like, you know what? These guys have been number one for seven straight books. And you're like, well, what does that mean? It means that no matter what in that time slot, they are number one, which means people are listening. That's an immediate sell and a sales pitch, like going, okay, people are listening. It means they're going to hear my ads, right? There you go. If you're Ben Johnson and you want to get the belief of a locker room and build this organization with the Bears, it starts with where it starts. F the Packers, dude. Let them know that you're all in. Not only did you become their head coach in Chicago, you had to deal with Green Bay in Detroit. So you have this built hatred, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals and Royals have been irrelevant in a rivalry since 1986. But you know what? My buddy who lives in St. Louis, for some reason, always knows where to find me before the first pitch of the Royals and Cardinals series. Why? Because that hatred is there. I'd give the guy the shirt off my back. But when the Royals and Cardinals play, I want to knock his teeth out. Because we know how to push those buttons. And when you can push those buttons successfully within your franchise, like Ben Johnson has done with this Bears team, that gives you reason to believe the head of the guard and to say, okay, this guy is who we're going to follow. This guy's like us. They're young kids. There's vets. There's all these. But Bears players have one thing in common. They don't like the Packers. And if your coach bleeds that believes in you and it believes in the coach. And I think it's okay to have that hatred in sports because it creates it. And if you don't like it, you're soft. And that's the way it is. Like, yeah, I understand that at the end of the show, we say, hey, go do nice things. That's in the real world. But in the sports world, I don't want to see Denver. I want to see Josh Allen throw 9 touchdowns for 550 yards against Denver and beat him 56-0. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, you don't want to see the Denver Broncos
win. And why is that? Because I hate Denver.
Yeah, and what Ben Johnson did in doubling down yesterday, I think it's even bigger than just, you know, winning over your team. Because quite honestly, a lot of these players have no idea what these rivalries are, right? You get drafted by the Chicago Bears. You grew up in, you know, Florida. You have no idea, you know, what the rivalries are about. But the fan base knows what the rivalries are about. And I think what Ben Johnson is doing here is doing a really good job of understanding the game with inside the game. The NFL for a very long period of time has become so nerdized, you know, and I will say that there's too many nerds involved in sports right now that worry about all the X's and O's and all this kind of stuff that really doesn't matter. You heard it yesterday with the press conference stuff down in Jacksonville of the nerd reporters for 20 seconds couldn't get out of the way of a poor lady saying something really sweet who, by the way, she went on local TV, and we'll get to that later on. What she had to say about that was awesome. But you also have to understand the game within the game. And part of the game is showmanship, man. This isn't, you know, have football team, will come sell tickets. You've got to win and you've got to be very entertaining as well. There is that aspect of the game. It's an entertainment industry. And Ben Johnson right there, when he's talking about the Green Bay Packers and how much he hates them, he resonates with his entire fan base. He's got that entire city now eating out of his hand. And you know what he did? He bought himself ears. He really did. Like, if they take a step back next year or whatever it is, nobody gonna be calling for his head because that guy's now one of us. He hates the effing Packers like we do. The other cool thing that came out of this whole story yesterday with him is that, you know, over the offseason, the owner died of the Bears, right? Ooh. Virginia McCaskey passed away, a little old lady, right? 100 and some years old, or maybe not even quite that age yet. She had an edict with the Chicago Bears. No players and nobody in that organization could ever curse. And if they did, they were in trouble. She passed away. Ben Johnson comes in. He lets the F-bombs fly. And look at what's happening now to the organization. Your players respond to that. Your fans respond to that. The entire organization responds to that. And I live that here in Kansas City. I know what it was like when the Hunt family, Lamar and Carl and Marty and all of those guys and Gunther Cunningham and then Dick Vermeil after that all bought in and really lived up that hatred of the Raiders. Danan still talks about it today. Ooh. It's Raider week. You walk in, they've got you brainwashed.
Won't even drink the water.
Right, exactly, because they got the Raider logo on it in Las Vegas. Him and Kling go dehydrated for those games. And so you see that still 30, 40 years later, he's got that buy-in. And that's what Ben Johnson is creating. Like, when you walk into that building, it's Packer week now, and you know, and you get that venom up. They've been the top team in that division for 100 years. You've got to find a way to knock them off. And so Ben Johnson has played this unbelievably awesome. You know when the Raider rivalry really died out? Yeah, they stink right now. Andy Reid hasn't embraced any of these rivalries, and I wish he would. I mean, I wish Andy would get, and this isn't hindsight or anything. We've said this for a generation now that Andy's been here. I wish he would hate the Raiders as well. It's hard to hate a team that you don't have a lot of background with. Ben Johnson does from Detroit, so he's got that hatred already built in. But I wish it was Raider week, and it was Raider week all over again, like it was with Marty and Vermeil and Gunther, where they were just pissed at that team. That is so good for sports, because even in a bad season, it fires up your fan base at least twice a year to play those turds from Wisconsin or to play those turds from Las Vegas. You want to get fired up about that. I love that Ben Johnson has embraced that rivalry.
Not only that, it doesn't fire up your franchise. Imagine being a Packers fan and watching all
oh,
that
God,
as well.
Yes,
now
yeah.
you're ready to get back at it, and mm-hmm. you are going to play that audio in your locker room or however you do it, because we've seen that with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
That guy had a screensaver of Mahomes like winning the AFC Championship game on the back of his phone.
Yeah.
Like, it's just things like that create what sports continue to do. Like, Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin did not hate each other behind the curtain. But, boy, they made it believable. And guess what? The ratings for wrestling were best they ever were when those two feuded. But in the back of it, because if you can create that scene, like, I don't know if Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson necessarily hate each other. But when they're on the field together, they want to rip each other's throats out.
Those handshakes, everybody's waiting around for those. That's good for the game.
And they might run into each other in Hawaii when they have the coaches' meeting, right. And they're out there. They go, man, you almost did it. Yeah, you did. Can't wait to see you next year. You bet. And there's a little firmness to that handshake. And that's one of those things, like, it's a respect thing. It's not necessarily like, I hate you thing. Now, there are times in sports where the coaches just hate each other.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's just human nature. But there's nothing wrong with creating that narrative in sports. Because if the day comes, and when the day comes, and Andy Reid is gone, and let's say the Chiefs move on, and they get this whole new guard at the helm, and it's a younger guy, and he comes in here, right? And they beat the Raiders 45-7, and he's in the locker room, and he's going, man, F the Raiders, dude. F the silver and black. That team can't hold your jock. You know what Bob's going to be doing? Wearing no pants.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get you back in there and bought in. And one thing that I can tell you is, can you be relatable to your players, and can you be relatable to your city?
Well, you got to be relatable to the city. That's why the Gruden thing with driving the bus when they beat the Chiefs and all that kind of stuff, that's why that stuff is good. Yeah, did we get pissed off here in Kansas City? Sure, but that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do. I wish the Chiefs would have taken a bus and driven around Allegiant Stadium or did, you know, something like that.
Well, they did it in a huddle.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. They did do that. Yeah,
called back for a Kadarius Toney penalty, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where Andy's, like, hatred comes out, right? Like, we've begged from day one for Andy Reid to just blow teams out and rub it in their face, and he just won't do that. But where Andy Reid will tell you is, like, he'll be that snide guy in the corner, and they'll be like, yeah, you really have that hatred for the Raiders or the Broncos or anything like that. It's like, yeah, check out my record against them. And you're like, touche. You're like, okay, yeah there's no reason to have a hatred because you're 11-3 and 12-4 and you've won. But again, like, Ben Johnson and Andy Reid are cut from two different asses, right?
Totally,
like,
different people, yeah.
So, again,
and Ben needs to win his fan base over,
correct,
right? Like, he needs to win his team over. He needs to do all that kind of stuff. Andy Reid doesn't need to do any of that kind of stuff, but I wish he would. You know, I wish there was a little more hatred and a little more embracement of, you know, those rivalries. And maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, though, guys. Maybe that really, those guys aren't our rivals anymore, you know, and we've talked about that. It's more Buffalo. It's more Cincinnati. It's more of that. But I still think, ultimately, when it comes down to it, your fan base knows those rivalries that have been in the division for a thousand years. We've always known, no matter how good or how bad, no matter what year it is, you're playing the Raiders twice and you're playing the Broncos twice, and you hate those teams and you don't want them to win. And so, like, I just found it very funny yesterday that there were people criticizing Ben Johnson for bad sportsmanship, but also criticizing Lynn Jones down in Jacksonville for being too nice. And I'm like, God, we just complain about everything in sports. Both of those instances were awesome in their own way.
Yeah, speaking of complaining, I'm going to give you a number, guys. 46-9.
Mm-hmm.
That was a combined score of the 7-2 seed. Or I'm sorry, that was just that was not the combined score of the 7-2 seed, because the Bears played the Packers were the 2 seed. But I'm looking at these games, looking at the AFC side of things when it comes to the New England Patriots beat the Chargers 16-3, and then obviously the Packers lose to the Bears 31-7. Some bad calculation. I was looking at the New England and or the Texans Steelers game.
Yeah.
But this comes from Andrew Siliano. This is the 6th year, the 14-team field at the NFL playoffs. The seventh.
How many
seed,
years?
Sixth year. That's right. The seventh seed is now 1-10 on wild card weekend.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way it goes, I guess, when you expand the bracket, right? Like, how many times has a 16 seed beat a 1 seed? I think we've seen it once, right? That's kind of the thing, because, like, you're just – it's one, tough to win on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the 2 seeds could be Kansas City in the past. They could be the Buffalo Bills in the past. They could be these teams that basically are one game away from being a 1 seed. It's just never going to be a record that's going to be caught up to, and the 7th seed is just always going to be seen as, like, the ass team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Green Bay, the Bears, that was good because –
Rivalry
and the way the NFC West was stacked when the seedings came out. But in the AFC, it seems to be this way all the time with the 7th seed.
Yeah, but you know what? Also, too, people are like, oh, we didn't need to expand the playoffs because the 7th seed doesn't win. No, I mean, other than last night's game, every game has been pretty decent, you know, in the postseason this year. And so I look at it and say, did we need to expand the postseason from a competitive standpoint? Maybe. From a money standpoint, definitely. From a TV inventory standpoint, there's no question, because you've added, you know, 2 wild card games that we haven't had, you know, in the past. But I think everybody wins in this situation, right? You get an extra game, the NFL gets the extra inventory, and then the best teams still move on, Dusty. And that's what we want. We talk about the NCAA tournament a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we love, the upsets are all good. And then the second weekend comes and you have, like, VCU versus Old Dominion, and you're like, where the hell did UCLA and Duke go, right? Oh, they got, you were excited, they got knocked out last week. So the NFL is giving us the opportunity to have more playoff games, but they're also giving us the opportunity to still, and I don't even know who that 1-7 seed was that ended up advancing, but you still give them the opportunity to have playoff games that are extra for the fans, and also the best team still is moving on 99% of the time.
Somebody asked in the thread that was in, what's the result of the 2 seed in the following round? I don't know if this is an accurate thing, but it says, more importantly, what is the two seed's record in the next round since the change?
Yeah.
That bye week was super valuable for, but curious as to the exact results. Someone did respond and say 5-4.
Mm.
So almost 500 in the next round when the two seed goes on to play either whatever seed is the next lowest, because obviously if you're the six seed, you play the one.
Right.
But no, I mean, this is what we wanted. We wanted more teams in. We wanted a shot, but it's not giving us the result that we thought we'd want, because sometimes the writing's on the wall. It's like, hey, you want more playoff football teams? Okay, you'll get it, but you might be disappointed with the result. But hey, you're getting, you know, it's like, which one do you want? Do you want a week off of football with two teams, or do you want everybody to kind of have a shot with that seven seed to get
in? I thought I was going to hate this setup of the playoffs because seven's such a weird number, right? But I actually like it. I like the way that they kept the regular season intact to make every game meaningful in the regular season, to get that number one seed and to get that bye. And the games, for the most part, have been pretty good in the playoffs. And so I kind of like where the NFL is right now. They did need to expand. Everybody else has got eight teams from each conference in there. So it was time to expand. And yes, they will expand to eight teams eventually in the AFC and the NFC. But I like where the NFL is right now with the playoffs. It's not like when you watch the NBA or even Major League Baseball or the hockey, because of the series, there's so many games. In the NFL, there's so few games. Having an extra two games on a Saturday and a Sunday in the first weekend is a great thing for all of us, I think.
The seventh seed that you're looking for that beat the two seed, the Green Bay Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys 48-32 in a wild card game in the 2024 NFL season.
Okay.
That was the Jordan Love game, right?
Yeah, that's what got him paid, right?
I think so. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, he actually did play very well in that game against Chicago Bears, but his defense didn't. But either way, we'll get to it a little bit later on today. Here, coming up next is Tough Tuesdays on a Tuesday. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesday to all of you in the city of Kansas City on another beautiful day today. Going to be in the 60s, get the grills out, pop a few sodas, not too many. Still a school night. KU versus Iowa State tonight in Lawrence at 8 o'clock on ESPN.
No Fran Fraschilla doing the game. Thank God.
Is that a new thing this year, or is that just tonight thing?
I just saw it was tonight. I just saw they say that Jay Billis and Dan Shulman were on the call, which is obviously a huge game in Lawrence, and one that, you know, KU probably needs to find a way to win. We'll talk more about that. Dusty had a great topic about, you know, what that game means and everything moving forward, you know, for the University of Kansas. But that is a huge game tonight. I think Bill Self's like 12-2 in Allen Fieldhouse against teams ranked in the top five. So it's been an incredible run, you know, over there and whatnot. But I mean, Iowa State's the number two team in the nation right now. Kansas out of the top 25. My brother-in-law texts me yesterday. He goes, Kansas out of the top 25. I'm like, I feel like that's more common now than it has been in the past 25, 40 years or so up there in Lawrence. I think the game has changed so much. And so I feel like they were out of the top 25 last year, maybe. I don't know.
At times.
Yeah.
Hadn't been easy for Bill the last few years. We'll dive into that a little bit later, because I heard a little bit of it from Alex. He's down bad, man. The Chiefs didn't do well. It was his birthday yesterday.
Did Cody say happy birthday to him?
He better. He said, guys, it's Alex's birthday today.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Jayhawks, his alum, having a tough stretch.
Well, this is something that, honestly, Dusty, dates back to 2008, and that's the deep tease that we'll give for that Bill Self conversation.
Okay. But it is a tough Tuesday, so you guys have some names on the docket. You guys got a tough Tuesday candidate for somebody out there today?
Well, I'm going to start with myself. I'm having a tough Tuesday. Oh, boy.
Stub your toe this morning?
No, worse. I blew a muscle yesterday lifting. I can't walk upstairs.
How'd you get in here today?
Very slow. I did not take the elevator. Probably should. I was doing lunges. It's right here, right above my knee. Right there. It's brutal. And so it is a lot. I heard a pop. I'm not going to lie. And I'm like, oh God. And then as soon as I sat down, could not get back up. So I'm sitting there on the bench like a, you know, I don't even know what, like a turtle on its back trying to get up, and everybody's looking at you like you did some kind of exercise. I'm like, I am. So I finally got up and I'm like, oh, this is not good. Walked around the track, tried to run. That wasn't happening. But I will say, no, it's much better today than it was. was yesterday, but
called Anselmo and got some stuff.
I went to Gemini actually, the AI, and said I got this going on, and they diagnosed that thing and told me exactly what was wrong. And I'm like, yeah, that they've nailed it. So I just got to rest it, basically, is what it is. And so I've like that's my kind of my first old man injury, pulling a muscle in my quad doing lunges with 10-pound dumbbells. And I even went down on the weight because I'm like, I'm going to go down on the weight a little bit today. Boom. There it goes. So I'm having a tough Tuesday, but obviously Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin are having a tough Tuesday as well in Pittsburgh. Is Aaron Rodgers going to retire? And is Mike Tomlin going to make that jump to TV? Because last night just wasn't a great night for either of those guys.
This was Troy Aikman on Aaron Rodgers last night.
Well, I think we are watching Aaron Rodgers' last game. And what we saw of Phillip Rivers this year when he came out and decided to come out of retirement and play for the Colts, who knows what next year might bring. He might be willing to come in at some point if a team needs a quarterback. I doubt that will happen. I don't imagine he's going to say he wants to come back and sign with the Steelers again or with another team.
So Aaron Rodgers' last pass he throws is to the opposing team for a touchdown. You love to see it. Nathan, you got a tough Tuesday?
Did we think that Aaron Rodgers would leave without another dig at the media, though? I mean, he was right. I agree with him, as we talked about earlier, but we got one more out of him.
Well, I don't know if that was necessarily a dig at the media as much as it was a dig at social media.
I kind of want something other deep.
Well, he dug at social media and also the studio experts or something like that. But my tough Tuesday is along the same lines. If you watch that Monday Night Football game and you like offense, this tough Tuesday's for you.
Yeah.
So, Bob, I don't know if this doubled down. You hurt your knee. The offense was terrible last night. Yeah, it's just a really tough Tuesday for you. But the only – I think two of the three touchdowns in this game were defensive by the Texans. And one was a ball that C.J. Stroud threw like well behind Christian Kirk. That was a nice play by him. I mean, just a brutal game offensively. Texans, they run away with that one, but C.J. Stroud had a couple of terrible turnovers, an awful pick, a fumble that he should have got rid of the ball on sooner. I think this Texans defense is legit, but they have some things to figure out offensively if they want to win another game this week.
Well, it's amazing, too, that you bring that up, because the C.J. Stroud performance last night left something to be desired. I mean, that thing was awful last night. And if he doesn't have a defense out there that's playing against a mannequin at quarterback, I mean, it's just, I mean, my God, there's no way Houston wins that game with the way that C.J. Stroud played last night. If he plays like that, even close to that level this weekend against New England, I don't know that his defense can bail him out at that point in time.
That's the other thing, too, is like the Tomlin thing last night. I mean, they gave you three turnovers.
Yeah.
And Houston started almost every drive from their own 25-yard line, and you just couldn't do any. I think they were like 0-of-7 on third down conversion in the first half.
To start the game, it was awful. And every third down conversion was like 8 or more yards. I mean, it was a brutal performance last night.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was.
But again, brutal performance or great performance by Houston, too, because I think sometimes.
On a defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. From a defensive standpoint, like sometimes we get so caught up, and oh, this guy stunk and this team stunk. How about the 11 other guys that are paid to kick your ass? Because that defense by Houston, that was the first time in a while where I watched the game and went, oh my God, like this is double men versus, you know, boys. Like it was, they just had their way with that offensive line and that offense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That defense was unfreaking believable last night. That's as you go into the offseason, get me 5 defensive linemen that can get after the quarterback, you know?
Yeah, sure. You just got to pick, you know, in the top 3 picks for 3 years straight.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do, but Will Anderson was the top 3 picks. CJ Stroud, obviously, top 5 pick, I believe, in Kansas City for of the matter.
Yeah, 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2 and 3 that year.
Back to back. And then what, Anthony Richardson went like 4 or 5? Yeah.
What's he doing? We were with the Will Levis fall was the biggest story of that first
round.
That's
right.
Yeah, what a time.
So they went Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud back-to-back picks. I don't remember
number
that.
Number 1 went Bryce Young.
Right.
And then C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson.
How did they get the top
They
two?
Traded. It was after the Stroud pick, too, which is weird.
Oh, that's right. That Cleveland pick. The pick right. In.
I think it was Cleveland or Arizona or somebody like that. They traded up from like 11.
It was the Deshaun trade. Yeah, had to have been the Deshaun trade, wasn't it?
And then they must have finished that year to get that.
Oh, they used the Cleveland pick to move up. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes, that's right. And so, but it was like they just picked their franchise quarterback, and then immediately a trade's announced they're up again. It's
and
like,
they
what
took
are they
the
doing?
Best defensive player
Will Anderson,
at Alabama.
Now look at him.
I mean, think about that. You got your quarterback for the next 30 years. You got your best defensive player for the next 30 years, all in 15 minutes in Kansas City. Like, if the Texans go on and form some sort of dynasty, that should be the title of it. 15 minutes in Kansas City, because those two picks have dramatically changed this organization. And you can see that, right? What two picks have dramatically changed our organization? Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, right?
I don't want to speak this into existence. Imagine a world, if you're a Houston fan, where they go through Kansas City to get to a Super Bowl at some point. That's right. It becomes kind of poetic. They had a chance last year with those guys, but they were probably too early. Yeah, absolutely. That changed the course of their franchise.
Yep.
Yeah, those are... C.J. Stroud's got to figure some stuff out because he tried to give that game away last night.
He really did. He was wanting to give that game away.
I'm just going, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Just stop. My Tough Tuesday goes to maybe Scotty Scheffler. So I love Scotty. I think Scotty's great for golf. I know you might think his personality is boring, but the LIV Golf might be done. Brooks Koepka leaving, going to join the PGA Tour.
Talk about a pay cut hit. Holy cow.
For sure. But I mean, they still got a lot of their money. More players will do this. They have loosened restrictions on the PGA Tour to allow players to come in and play. And before it was just like, if you had won that major, you can come play it. Obviously, like if you're the Masters, you always get to play the Masters. If you, that's why we have to see Patrick Reed's, I can't stand that guy, but either way, I think this could mean something for Scottie Scheffler on a Tuesday, because now the playing field will be expanded.
He has Tuesdays too.
Yeah, because I mean, this is where like a lot of people that are nerds like me in golf have said, yeah, Scottie Scheffler, what he's doing is fantastic. It's unmatched. It's the greatest few seasons in a row we've seen since Tiger was taking the tour by storm. And now Scottie Scheffler is starting to be that guy where it's like if the tournament's happening and he's got a, you know, 3-shot lead going to Sunday, it's probably over. If he's down by 2 or 3, you're going to see his name at the top flirting for the winner at the end of this tournament. Now more players will start to come back and play on the PGA Tour. Talented players, I would think, will come back and play on the PGA Tour, and that could make things a little tougher for Scottie Scheffler to continue this dominance. Now, he could ball this up, throw it in my face, and say, it doesn't matter who plays, I'm in my zone, and nobody's touching me right now on the tour because I have the most accuracy when it comes to fairways. I have the best wedge game in the sport, and from the bunker inside, you know, 15 feet, I can put it anywhere near the pin to get myself a manageable birdie putt often more times than not. But I am interested to see with the talent expanding to the PGA Tour coming back and LIV kind of dying out and these players finally figuring out that the PGA Tour is much more fun and the PGA maybe starting to listen to the people and make things a little bit less stupid. Maybe that makes things a little bit tougher for Scottie Scheffler, but time will tell as the season will get ready to start off here.
Yeah, I mean, but what did he say? $50 to $85 million he's forfeiting potentially to jump back onto the PGA Tour. Now he made $150 million or whatever it was to go to the LIV Tour.
Sure.
And I don't think anybody would look at that and go, "I made the wrong decision." You got the cash, you took the cash, and you ran with it. Now, obviously, times have changed. I don't think anybody thought this LIV Tour was going to last, you know, for a long time. But it's a hell of a poison pill. When can he legitimately win money again?
Once he makes a cut.
So he can win prize money immediately?
Yeah, that's how. If you make the cut, you cash.
So what's the money that they're keeping away from him then?
Probably the PGA Tour keeping from him.
Yeah.
That I haven't looked into
yet. Okay, they said he's going to forfeit $50 to $85 million in like residuals or something like that, like buy into the tour or something like that, ownership tours and whatnot. So he's sacrificing that kind of money. He's also sacrificing FedEx Cup money as well. And so the way I read it is like he's not making any money for the first 3 years that he's back on tour. At least that's the way that I understood it. Nathan, you're a lawyer. You may understand that a little bit differently than what I did. But the way that I read it is like he's playing 3 years for free, basically.
Yeah. Somebody says there's only three spots available and you had to have one of major. They really only want Koepka, Ron, and DeChambeau. That's three guys that could go in there and compete with Scottie Scheffler. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Somebody says, I saw he can't earn any bonus money from the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, that too. And as well as, you know, general fund money from the PGA. Yeah. I mean, the FedEx Cup is one thing. And then there's 3 years where he has to forfeit a bunch of other cash as well to go back onto the PGA Tour. It's really a lot of money that this guy is giving up to go back and play. But I mean, it's still the right decision to do.
Sometimes we see something and react in a way that we should probably just calm down. That was Colin Cowherd yesterday on The Herd. We'll play his audio next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.